Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 633 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today is the 30th of May. Happy Memorial Day to all those who serve and or are part of just any kind of service that is out there on the front lines. We do appreciate you. So many thanks from the podcast team. If you have never been here before, we're a video game podcast. We talk about video games all the time, but we also talk about life. So get ready for that. We broadcast every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. in the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, and if you're one of the fortunate few in the Central Time Zone, 3 p.m. We are on Twitch. We're on YouTube. We also do an audio version of the podcast, so if you want to listen to us while you are working out and cranking out a nice good old sweat the old-fashioned way, you're happy to do so. My name, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. And joining me today, we were supposed to have Mr. Mark Wright, but he completely forgot about things. Scheduled himself a nice social day celebrating somebody's birthday, blah, blah, blah. So he's not here. Peachin really had no excuse at all other than he's just pink. That's, I think, the real excuse there. And we're hoping to get Phil back now sometime soon. He has gone through his family things, and we're hoping he is now back on a path of being able to partake in the podcast. But that doesn't mean the people we have on the show today are not excellent, awesome hosts, because they are. We have Kim Woods.
Howdy, howdy, that's me. I'm GamerGirl27 on Xbox, on Twitter, yada yada. That's pretty much all that matters because I haven't fired up the PlayStation in months. So, anyway. So, welcome. All
right. Yeah, I completely forgot what my old PlayStation 1 was. I've got one somewhere. Robin Tate, you are ill. You're not feeling great, but you're still here. We appreciate that.
No, thank you. No, I'm not ill. Well, not ill per se. I mean, I'm having a glass of wine here. I don't know if that's advisable or not. But I have a very sore throat. You know that when you swallow and it's like razor blades?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, it's like that. So I'm a bit medicated.
That's called being ill, Robin.
Yeah. Well.
I just say you sound a little stuffy.
Yeah.
And also, your wife says you are a sick bastard, so.
Okay.
That might be more of a bedroom thing, though.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, well, you know, with the scat sheets got ripped. So, anyway. So I'm Robin Tate. I'm at Bongo the Sane pretty much everywhere in the world. And I'm in Northern Ireland in a little place called Ahohol, which is outside Ballymena. Which, if you look at the map of Northern Ireland, there's a little lake in the middle and I'm at the top right-hand corner. Hello, it's been a lovely day. I've got a bit of sun and it's nice to be on the show. And I've made the effort, even though I've had next to no sleep whatsoever this week. We'll get to that. And now I'm feeling absolutely rotten. You know, if the cap
fits. Throwing the gauntlet down, Robin. You're throwing the gauntlet down.
If the cap fits, wear it.
Yes.
So
that is directed at all pink mongooses in the world. All right. Well, let's celebrate some birthdays real quick. We've got a few.
Yeah.
We do.
We have birthdays.
Dan?
No.
You have to actually,
there's no.
You know, you have to mention. You got birthdays, you it's old true. Man. You got the that's birthdays. True. You mentioned the people.
I was still waiting for an intro song for some dumb reason.
Insert name here.
I've forgotten that to run the show already, folks.
Good, man.
That's the kind of show it's going to be, apparently. all right. First of all, we want to say happy birthday to Mark Wright's son, Jay, who is celebrating his birthday today. That's technically why Mark is not
is
here.
Is it not tomorrow? I thought it was tomorrow.
But they're celebrating it today.
So Mark is off in preparation for that. Yeah. Because it's his birthday and all. Yeah. Okay, Mark. Good lad. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, the week I needed you because I'm feeling rotten. Yeah. But anyway, no matter. It's all right.
Jay, by the way, turning 43 today. I think that's actually pretty close to probably true. But yeah. Daniel Wood also celebrating a birthday. Daniel, being the last name Wood, means that he is actually 80 years old.
Class.
You can tell by the rings as you go out from the more rings he has. Andrew Wells also celebrating a birthday. Andrew, 73.
Ow.
Wow.
Looking good for 73, Andrew. Let's play him a song now, Robin. I think now is appropriate time.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Insert name here. Happy birthday to you.
Gentleman was not recognized.
That might be my favorite birthday song we've ever had.
Really?
I just have to say. Yeah, I do like
it. Growing on you now. It's growing. Yeah. It was irritating, but now it's growing on you.
It is. Well, it's because it's how I sing most birthday songs. Purposely off-key, a little annoying, because you really don't want to be asked to sing birthday songs.
Yeah.
Anyway. Huh. All right. Well, we've got birthdays out of the way. Now we can talk about life. So, I'm looking at the list of topics on our life to-dos and what's been going on, and I'm not sure who to start with first, because there are some curious topics here. Do I go with a wounded horse topic or the cat wash and cook topic? I'm a little... I'm going to go wounded horse. Let's go. Kim, you are up first. Let's talk about wounded horses. And everything else that falls before and after.
All right. Well, as you all probably noticed last weekend, I wasn't on the show. I had to watch kids, and we had a horse that had ripped open its front shoulder.
How did it do this?
Well, we've got more than one, and they got in a fight, and one was chasing the other, and apparently they forgot we had a barbed wire fence. And chased him right into the barbed wire fence, slicing open his right front shoulder. Ouch. So, yeah, it was pretty gnarly looking. And anyway, Dad found him, and we were lucky because the vet said if it had went any deeper and cut blood vessels, that would have been it. So we had the vet out. I think it was Wednesday. He came out, sewed him up, cleaned it all up. And then so he stayed in the trailer for like 3 days. So then finally, after the 3 days, we had a temporary pen built so we could keep him up front, because we'll have to put fly spray on it, and we've got salt water we have to put on it, and we have to keep it cleaned out and everything else. So, yeah. And he's not exactly broke. So it was fun.
Got some money in his pocket?
Right, yeah. No, he... right. He's a bit wild. So, my brother and sister all come down to help Dad move him out of the trailer. Because Dad's like, oh, yeah, he'll be fine. Because Dad had been handling him pretty much since the thing happened. And, yeah, they both all almost end up running into a shed head first. And he stepped on Dad and my brother at least once. And, oh, yeah, it was fun. So, my anxiety was pretty much right through here all last weekend until we finally got him put in the pen. So, yeah. He's on the mend, though. He's doing well. He no longer hops. Because for a while there, he was doing like a three-legged hop, because of course that front side was sore and everything else. But he's doing fine. He's prancing around the pen and doing his thing. So the vet said, though, it'll probably be November before that all heals up and closes. And so yeah, we're in it for the long haul.
There's so many things here. Mm-hmm. One, I never really think of horses as having like grudges or being like angry towards one another. Like I know horses could be mean towards, you know, humans. They don't want you to ride on them, that they buck you off. But the whole thought of just horses having a grudge against one another in the pen and then like literally getting into like the full out brawl is kind of scary, comical, all in the same breath.
Well, it wouldn't be a big deal, except they aren't castrated, so they have all this extra testosterone running through them, so that tends to stir them up, and there's a female out there, so she doesn't help the situation, so they're a pack animal.
Women always at the center of problems when it comes to fights.
This is what Dad says. And, of course, they're a pack, so there's a pecking order. There's the one at the top, and then the one at the middle, and yada, yada, yada. Well, the one at the top didn't like the one in the middle sniffing around his girlfriend, so one thing led to another, and, well, here we are. So
and the one in the middle, I'm assuming, is the one that got his ass kicked.
Yep. Yeah. So gotcha. I've talked it over with Dad and my vet, and as soon as he gets a little more healed up, he's going back to the vet, and his testicles will no longer be needed. So we're gonna take care of him and all the other studs we have here, because we have far too freaking many as it is. And yeah, so he'll get a little bit of an attitude adjustment, so we won't have these problems in the future.
I'm very glad my parents never had that same kind of tact with me.
Well, no, I can
boys get out of hand, you are off to the doctor and you're getting snipped.
We are taking care of that, yeah. So, yeah, that was, like I said, my anxiety was, like, way up here, because all I could see is this horse flipping out, and Dad happened to go to the emergency room, or worse, the horse flipping out, hurting himself, and Dad in the process.
Yeah, at what point do you just say, fuck it, and just, like, off the horse?
Well,
I'm just curious.
You know, at first, before the vet showed up, we had one other guy who's been around horses come and look at him, and he says, you know, even if the vet fixes him, he'll probably be lame, so well, you may have to put him down. But according to the vet, if everything goes well and he doesn't screw up, he should be fine and should be rideable after all this is said and done. So that was definitely something that was batted around, was, you know, maybe this might be his last rodeo. So,
you know, all these terms like batted around and castration and... It's really made me uncomfortable, Kim. I want to adjust myself sitting in this chair right now.
I'll bet.
I should turn around.
You're not a horse.
So here's a question, and this is an honest question, because I know the horse is not broken in yet. But why not buy a horse that is already broken in?
Well, we have before, but
okay.
Is there
like a cost difference? I'm assuming there is.
Yeah, I think usually ones that are already broke, they bring a little more money. But this one was I don't know if you want to call it a gift or whatever. So,
okay.
You know, here we are. So, and we just haven't, and of course it takes time, and you know, we haven't really had any time, so that's on us. But we've kind of got it now, because Dad's kind of taken over the reins, as it were, on this deal, and he goes out and because like I said, he's not broke, so I don't feel comfortable going out there and trying to mess with him, because I'm not the fastest person in the world.
When we come over, okay, when we are the noise outside your window on the hogs going past, Greg and I want to break in a horse. We fancy doing that.
We want to do it.
Yeehaw! Oh God, yeah. No.
I do envision though, Kim, your dad just walking up to the horse and punching it in the face, a la Blazing Saddles,
right.
And just pop.
Yeah.
All right. What else, Kim? What else has been going on your side of the?
I guess since it is close to the first of the month, we do have calendars, so we can do that right quick if you want.
Good.
I'm going to do things a little different. This is the mall cosplay calendar. Of course, we have Kratos. Kratos.
All right.
I like Kratos, but that will just piss off every Sony fan.
I know, right? I'm going to get hate mail now.
I can't imagine him washing terribly much. I'd say he smells a bit like crusty.
He does look like he smells.
We have Mal and Isabel. I'm hoping Isabel is the cat, but I don't know. So anyway,
he also doesn't look like he washes much.
Probably not.
Smelly best.
That's our calendars for the month. Other than that, of course, most of you know, I got my Series X finally.
Yay!
It's hooked up. Unfortunately, it is not hooked up in the monolith style, because I still have my PlayStation 4, and the PlayStation 4 won't sit. You know, because usually I could stack them, like, on top of each other. Well, I can't do that and then set it up, you know, vertically.
Right.
So, it's on its side, because I figured that's what the rubber feet were for. So
absolutely. That's how mine is, by the way.
By the way, did you all look at the stand at the bottom of the stand to see what it says?
No.
There's something printed on the stand of the Xbox Series X. It's something like "Hello from Xbox" or "Hello from Seattle" or something like that.
Hello.
I have to look again to see, but it was something I noticed when I was hooking it up. That they, because you know, they usually stack in little Easter egg in there somewhere, like one had Master Chief on it somewhere, and yada yada.
Yeah, the Scorpio.
Master Chief is in this as well. Mm. I could be wrong, but the "Hello from Seattle" is interesting on the bottom of the stand.
It's something to that effect. So yeah, if you're so inclined, look at your stand on your Xbox. There's a little message there.
Okay.
Also,
just as a word of wisdom in terms of
when you have it horizontal. I don't know if you have it inside an entertainment center or if it's freestanding up on top of something. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if it's freestanding on top of something, disregard this completely. But yes. If it's in the stand, the right side, as you're looking at it, because it'll mm-hmm. the open side, if you will, is on the right. Just give that a nice wide berth.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a good 6 inches or so of space before. Yeah.
Yep. So got that. Aside from that, just working. I mean, you know, a lot lately. I was supposed to have 4 days off because I had Friday off. And then, of course, the weekend I was supposed to have tomorrow off. But as usual, that didn't quite work out either. So, what can you do?
Keep working. That's what you can do, Kim.
That pretty much until I die, you know.
Yes. All right. Okay. Well, let's shift over now. Cat wash and cook. I'm just saying it jumps off the page at me.
Sounds like a video game, doesn't it?
It does.
It could be Robin. Actually. Yeah. So yeah, after the show last week, we had another one of the kids ended up in the hospital. So in fact, the same one back in the hospital, and she hasn't slept very well this week at all. And so it's been a tough old week, and that's probably why I'm a bit run down. But kids bounce back quickly. So I think it was yesterday morning. What day is today? Sunday. Yes, so I was off. Yeah, Saturday. Yeah, so I'm outside, and this is a three-year-old, and we have a cat that's outside. It's an outdoor cat, and this cat is the most tolerant thing that you could ever think, because she pulls its tail and holds on to it like this, picks it up and walks around with the cat, hugging it, pulling it, struggling. You know. Anyway, our washing machine, when you close the door, you don't just press start. You have to press like start and confirm. It's two separate buttons. And I was within a millisecond of her pressing the confirm button with the cat locked in the washing machine going, meh. So, with a smile on her face. So then today, this morning, we were outside and we have, as part of our outside, there's a fire pit area with a big fire. It's a cast iron fire pit thing, like a burner. And on top of it, there's a pizza oven with an iron door. And where's the cat, Jasmine?
Oh, no.
And it was in the pizza oven.
Oh, man.
So, geez, the poor cat. Seriously, it's just terrible. Anyway, it survived. God bless it. It hasn't killed her much.
It's used up at least two of those 9 lives.
Mm. Anyway, you were saying it was going to be about 100 degrees there today.
Yes.
So it was going to be scorchio. It was absolutely scorchio here today. Really scorchio, hottest day of the year. It was 69.8 here today. It's it's too much for us, man. Look at me. Look at me. Look at the red. Look.
I know.
My nose. Rudolph wouldn't be in it. Look, that's a normal day for you, isn't it?
69.8 is summertime. That's like a cool evening. that would be morning, late night.
Dear. Yeah. Anyway,
to put this in perspective, it will hit 100 degrees today at 5 p.m. And so it'll be 100 from 5 to
6. I think it was, we were outside about 5-ish, 5 o'clock or so, 6, and it really was hot then, warmer than to the day. So
what happened to, it's supposed to be hottest like around lunchtime. Those, you know, that used to be the deal, you know, around noon, 12, 1 o'clock.
I don't know. Maybe the Earth isn't as flat as it used to be. Maybe it's like bent a little bit now, and we're further.
I think
we're
further away. Kind of curve or something.
Yeah, I think something like that is happening. Other stuff that went on this
week. Climate change.
just a quick recommendation to Mayor of Easttown. It's the finale tonight or tomorrow night. It's on Hulu, probably for you guys over there. It is the girl from Titanic, Kate Winslet. Very, very good. A lot older. Anyway, but still, she's going to get an award for this. It's a fantastic series. Really good. Detective, small town, twists and turns, and there's a big cliffhanger or a big thing happening now. I can't wait for this last episode. So it's very, very good. Mayor of Easttown. Very, very good. Very interesting. And Joshua's home, and he just before I came out to the show, he started me on this thing called MODOK. So MODOK is Patton Oswalt, the little guy, wee small comedian fella. He was also in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and all those. He's and okay. The movie The Circle. He was like the right-hand man to the boss and all that sort of stuff. Anyway, it's a stop-frame animation Marvel superhero type thing, but very very irreverent. So MODOK is this big head. He's this massive big head, and his daughter has a massive big head, and his head is so big. Oh, I'll play the trailer. I'll play the trailer. I've got it here. His head is so big, he flies around in this hover seat. So he's like completely and utterly self-centered, unbelievably nasty son of a bitch. And he's married, but he has kids, and one of his kids is in a hover seat, and one isn't. And it's rude. And he's like the superhero. In the first episode, he steals Iron Man's boot, and all, and he has sort of minions, and it's very irreverent, and it made me chuckle tonight. So it's worth checking out if you like that sort of funny humor. It's good. MODOK.
Is it on Disney Plus by chance?
Hulu, I believe. There it is. Hulu. It's up on the screen now. Hulu.
Okay.
It's on Disney Plus. Yes, we watched it on Disney Plus. So,
okay.
So yeah, MODOK. It's worth checking out. It's very interesting.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a irreverent sort of thing. Okay. And the final thing that I did last night, years ago I tracked down Buck Rogers. And Buck Rogers to me was one of those TV series that I just loved. It was just fantastic. Yes. And it had those fantastic spaceships. It was around the time of Star Wars. It seemed that the tech seemed to be really, really good. And I went and bought the first season. Now, I always thought there was a movie, but there isn't a movie. It's just a TV movie, like two episodes stitched together. But I bought the first series and I watched the first two episodes of the TV movie last night, later on. And I realized why I really enjoyed it so much. And it's because of Colonel Deering, which is Erin Gray.
Yes.
Sorry, Kim. Sorry about this. But yeah, I think she was a childhood fantasy of mine. Lycra, not Lycra, whatever the type of suit it was like a satin one piece. Everything was, but Gil Gerard, I don't know what else Gil Gerard done apart from he's done two seasons of this. Our Buck Rogers character, but it is bloody woeful. It hasn't. It's still an S standard def. It's muddy looking.
Not good.
Judith, I put it on, and Judith going, you know what, Robin? You've went down in my opinion of you. You usually watch this really sharp, edgy science fiction stuff, and what is this? This is crap. Yeah, it was like heart. It's like Heart to Heart. The acting is absolutely terribly woeful.
But I think it's worse than Heart to Heart, for the record. I think it's actually worse, which is it's a stretch.
Unfortunately, I was watching it going, do you know what? I'm really pissed off watching this right now because fucking Mark's in it, and Mark's pissing me off. Tweaky, tweaky, tweaky. Tweaky, tweaky, tweaky. Anyway, so, yeah. So Tweaky, yeah, Mark and his bloody headphones. And that's right, you know. So, yeah, Buck Rogers, it is fun. It's good to watch. It's good, you know, it's a laugh. It's
amazing to see where we have come from to where we are today. I'll have something to elaborate on that as well.
Sorry. It was edgy enough. You know, they had the spaceships and stuff right, and it was, you know, they were really cool, and some of the kit was really cool. And it was edgy enough where in the first couple of episodes he goes back to old Earth, and it's, you know, it's this white, lovely white city, and nobody goes there, leaves it, and everybody outside of it's scum. And it's, you know, it's a bit like Hunger Games sort of thing and all of that, you know. It's,
I was just going to say, it's a bit like America.
That too.
Everybody outside of America is scum.
I think, what is the quote this weekend? Enjoy your long weekend. There, I think there's the quote of the weekend.
All right.
That's kind of lots of stuff work-wise, busy. Did I buy anything? Got new glasses.
More rice ball shakers?
Mine haven't showed up.
They haven't shown up. No. I got a rice ball shaker and you didn't.
Yeah.
Okay. So I will transition to this. So I did attempt to use the rice ball shaker. My wife warned me, though. She's like, you probably need Japanese sticky rice. And I was like, the long grain rice we just cooked out, that might be sticky enough. No, it wasn't. It was a
A moment of hilarity, though, loading the rice up into the little rice ball shaker. Because really, my mode of thought was, why in the hell would anybody go through this to do this? You make the three little tiny, I mean, they're not even, they're like that big, rice balls. They're like a little popper. And I'm like, so it's a sushi thing I get. I do realize that. But I don't eat a lot of sushi. So I'm like, what would I do with a rice ball shaker?
So you're saying my balls are too small?
Yes, your balls, they're definitely on the small side, Robin. Huh. Although, weirdly,
three of them. I'm an oddball. An oddball.
And then just speaking of kind of where we've come, where we've come and now where we are. So yesterday we went wine tasting, bought way too much wine. We came home with about two cases of wine, which was kind of crazy. But the story here is there's a winery that we go to called Driven. We love, they make fantastic red wines, really good. The motif of their winery is they have a whole bunch of old broken down cars that just they're rusted out. Wow. They just kind of line up.
So it's like my backyard. Anyway.
Probably, yeah. So it's a bit purposeful, but some of them look like they just got fished out of the lake. But also they have an old mailbox and then an old actual telephone booth, the kind you would go in and you would close the door. And I'm looking at that and I'm laughing and I'm like, I wonder how many kids would actually know what to do with, right, a telephone booth. Like, you know, if you said to them, you know, go try and make a phone call, how would they know what to do? I think you're right. I think they would struggle a little bit. No offense to the youngins, but there's some interesting things from our past that when you looked at it, you'd just be like, what the hell? And then this, of course, got us in the conversation of VHS and beta. And then my father, who was way ahead of his time or behind the times, however you want to look at it, he decided instead of investing in beta or VHS, he was going to invest in LaserDiscs.
Wow,
and
cool.
And yep. So we had a LaserDisc player, and I was so angry as a child because there was only one video store in the entire area that had LaserDiscs, and it was like the worst selection of movies you'd ever seen. It proved to be a bad investment. Although now, ironically, if he had held on to it, we'd held on to all those LaserDiscs, they probably weren't the money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's funny. I love a bit of TikTok in bed, and I was watching. There's a TikTok
The TikTok in bed should be a thing.
Kinky.
Yeah. A teenager about 15, 16, and her mum, and she was mostly at her grandparents' house or something like that, and she was using the rotary phone, and the kid was like picking it up going, what do I do with this? And she says, can you hear a dial tone? A what? A what? Yep. Yeah, and just had no idea. Again, not so long ago, I handed Charlie, my 15-year-old, you'd think he'd know, my Walkman, to put a cassette tape in. What? Where does it go? What? What? Inside? You open that up and it's off, let me. Now, don't live in these kids. Funny, it was my brother and sister-in-law's 25th wedding anniversary. This weekend, and we were around there for this afternoon for a while, and we were talking about this and how little we had when we all came up. And I don't want to sound like an old fart, but it's only in the last 20 years or so that we've all started to have luxury lines, luxury items.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I remember, again, old fart, I remember my father bringing home our first color TV. I remember I was in the car. Yeah. I remember him carrying it down the street. You know, into the car. I remember with the old black and white with the big, you just had remote controls over there long before. Do you know what we thought? We in the UK, we thought the highest technology that we would aspire to from America was something that seemed to be like pure magic. The clapper. The clapper just, it never came over here and everybody wanted it.
Oh, yeah. You're probably better off for that. Interestingly, I think back to I also had watched Back to the Future 2 over the weekend.
Oh, wow. And that would be now, wouldn't it?
Well, it was... sorry, say that again.
Didn't he go back to 1997 or he went forward to...
No, he went forward to 2015.
Okay. Well, flip me.
So here was the interesting thing. I think about Back to the Future 2, and I'm going to compare it to Star Trek. So Back to the Future 2, in 2015, they had... like all kinds of craziness. It looked like a cyberpunk world. On 80s steroids. Hoverboards and things like that. Basically all kinds of tech that has not really ever come to fruition. But then I think about Star Trek, and if you think about back in the day, Star Trek, they had the flip phone communicators, and they were like, this is the future. And they were right. I mean, that was the flip phone. We had flip phones, and those were communicators. And then it's funny how we think about how we portray the future in some of our entertainment and how it is, some of it come to be, some of it not so much come to be.
Yeah, but you imagine those aliens in Galaxy Quest that watched all those television programs from Earth to learn about it.
It's kind of scary that could be the reality,
right?
Anyway, so moving on real quickly. I joined up with Fraser Moores into a BattleTech League.
Much.
So this isn't really video game stuff yet because we haven't played any official games yet, but they set up a BattleTech League with the SEAL podcast group, and I decided to take the plunge on that, which means I will be doing some PC gaming because that's the only place I have that particular game on my PC. So we'll see how that goes. Fraser thinks I'm going to have an advantage. My take on that is probably not, because I haven't played the game in forever and a day. But
why? Because he's like a disabled Canadian or what?
Well, he is a disabled Canadian. Yes, this is true. All Canadians are technically in the fragile state. It's because I have knowledge of the BattleTech universe and the different machines, because there is kind of standardized mechs. And the different armaments and weapons and how you load them
know.
Out.
So I don't know. He sounds like he's taking you for a patsy, man. I think
he might be
setting you up for a fall. If he puts money if he wants to put money down, you know, fine, right? He's really good at it.
Oh, totally.
he's hustling.
So I did watch two movies that I want to talk about real quickly.
Okay.
One I had seen on Amazon, and I'm a big Bruce Willis fan. I really like Bruce Willis, and so I was like, you know what? This movie, Breach, I hadn't heard about it. I think it came out in 2019 or 2020, somewhere in there. And I was like, interesting. Okay, well, let's give it a shot. Worst decision of my life.
Oh, no.
This is one of those movies where, you know, the actor took a paycheck, and as soon as they got into the movie, they were like, what the fuck did I sign up for? It was had to be the worst movie. It was more or less Alien/zombies in space.
Wow.
The worst.
Pigs in space.
Yeah. I watched it all over my lunch on Friday. And I probably lost some brain cells over that. I literally might be stupider for having watched it. It was just that bad. It was horrible.
My goodness.
Now.
The thought of you
movie,
being stupider.
Pleasantly surprised. Smart ass. Pleasantly surprised by Army of Dead on Netflix.
Okay.
I had very low expectations for this movie, and it's not winning Academy Awards, mind you, but it was really good. It's a Zack Snyder movie. You can see some of his influence in the direction of the movie at times. I laughed a little bit because some of it didn't necessarily fit with the movie. But overall, it's a good popcorn flick. It definitely gets into the gore factor and can be a little over the top. But there were some surprising twists. Didn't make it, that kind of thing.
Snyder, is that the main character, this big lad?
No. That Zack Snyder is the director.
Who's the big lad then? Was he a...
Oh, the guy. Oh, what is the heck his name?
He was in...
Batista?
Yes, Dave Batista. He wants to be in a Gears of War movie, by the way. And I think he absolutely should be. He fits the bill.
Was he also in the remake of, damn it, Harrison Ford, Blade Runner? The first guy that was farming the bugs. I don't recognize him without all the tattoos.
Yeah.
Wow, because it looks like him. Okay.
But he does a good job at it, and the movie overall really delivers. It is a good summer popcorn movie. You know, have a couple beers, sit back, enjoy it. I don't think you will regret watching this movie. Avoid Breach at all possible.
I think I almost watched that one once, and I don't know why, but I didn't. So now I'm kind of glad I didn't.
Yeah, so. it was incredibly bad. I was shocked at how bad it was. Anyway, all right, that's enough about life. Let's get into some video games.
Okay. That would be really good to play some video games, wouldn't it?
It would be.
I also like that.
I do as well. Kim.
Yes.
Kim, we have a new month coming, and we with do. That come more games that we will get as part of the paid services that we love and hold dear to our heart, and then Indeed. Claim we get these games for free. Of Let's course. Talk about those.
Alrighty. Your games with gold for June are The King's Bird, which is available the 1st through the 30th, Shadows Awakening, which is available the 16th through July 15th, which I picked up like 2 months ago. Anyway, Neo Geo Battle Colosseum.
We appreciate your sacrifice, Kim. We appreciate your sacrifice.
You are welcome. Well, you know, I just bought the Black Sad the other day, so I'm sure it'll show up on Games with Gold like next month. So anyway, Neo Geo Battle Colosseum, which is available June 1st through the 15th, and Injustice Gods Among Us, which is available June 16th through June 30th. Wasn't that a free game once before, or they gave it away for free or something? Because I keep thinking I have that one. Plus. Maybe. Alrighty. Speaking of PlayStation, for your PlayStation Plus games for the month of June, we have Operation Tango. I'm assuming that has nothing to do with ballroom dancing, but who knows. That's for the PlayStation 5. Virtua Fighter 5 Ultimate Showdown for the PS4, and Star Wars Squadrons for the PS4 as well. Boy, that was a hard word for
Easy
me to say.
Easy for you
that.
To say.
Yeah. Right? Twitch Prime Games for June. We have Batman, the Telltale series, Newfound Courage, Lost in Harmony, BFF or Die. That sounds dangerous. Spit Kiss. Don't know.
Also sounds dangerous.
Right. Mugsters, a Bomb Slinger, which ends June 11th, a Mana Spark, which ends the 18th, and Frog Climbers, which ends June 25th. Okay. And last and certainly not least, because, yeah, okay, we got one of those two. We have your Stadia Pro games, if there's anyone out there still playing with their Stadia Pro. We have Chronos, Before the Ashes, MotoGP 20, The Legend of Heroes, Trails of Cold Steel 3, and Blue Fire. What that is. And then we have your Epic Games Store till June 3rd. You can get Among Us. Not Among Us, Among Us. So there you go. Those are your free games for the month of June.
Mm. It'd be way better if it was Among Us.
I know, right? We needed Pete on here to say that one. So.
Yeah. Someday.
Yeah, where was Pete? Was Pete gravely sick? Was he tonight? Was he gravely ill?
He's just an a-hole. I'm too tired. I've got that. You know, he's got excuse after excuse. He literally is earning the Pink Mongoose title. Just saying. We're gonna start calling him the Pink Lady. That's what we're gonna start calling him.
Yeah. Well, Mongoose Boomer has now joined the show, and awesome. And an even wonderful, more wonderful twist. He's actually wearing Mongoose sunglasses. So, great to have you, Boomer. Star of the show.
All right. Well, let's talk about some games that we have actually been playing. Robin, I assume you have continued your Mass Effect.
Yes, indeed. And do you know what?
Greg was right last week, and everything I said stands true.
No, absolutely not. So I have just today. I came when we came back from my in-laws. I came out here, and I was just on the last mission, the Ilias mission, and I went and finished it up, and I killed Saren and blah blah blah. So that was done. My victory achieved is in, and. For the last few nights, I have been coming out late to have a wee blast at it, and maybe the odd time through work. But I didn't want to go and do the last mission. I didn't want to go because I didn't want it to end. So I started.
Did you know you had to play Mass Effect 3 next?
No, it's two. It's two next. Mass Effect 3 is good.
That would do it for me.
Anyway.
I'm kidding.
Anyway, but I went and I suppose when I played this the first time, I fell off the wagon like Kim at the Citadel, blah, blah, blah. And then I went back to it after I was encouraged to go back to it. But then once I did that, I kind of, you know, beelined it, you know, straight through. And to try and get through it. Anyway, I'm going to take it off the screen. Everybody knows what that is all about. But this time I have kind of been completionist. I've tried to go and do as much stuff as I can. So anyway, last night I went to this odd galaxy, this odd system, just to look to pick up, you know, some extra and build some XP before doing the last mission. And I came across this asteroid, and I went onto this asteroid mission, asteroid AD-57 or something. And I had this fabulous little mini story there of some aliens that appear in future games within this here.
Okay.
And it was brilliant. It was a wee little hidden gem, like an hour and a half of storyline, which was just class, and that is what Mass Effect is so, so good at. It was Mass Effect 1 in this a bit clunky? Yes. But you can forgive that bit clunky. It's better than what it was. The Mako is better than what it was. It's better that way. But you can forgive it because of the depth of those characters, the depth of story. I would love a Mass Effect film.
Yeah, no, one real quick.
Yeah.
I actually really like Mass Effect. Yeah. I give you a lot of grief over this game right now because, the remake, to me visually, at least Mass Effect 1 didn't look bounds great. But
it does. It looks good.
I do love Mass Effect, and so I hold it in high regard, so I want to make that clear. I don't know that I would want a Mass Effect movie because I feel like they would try and condense things too much and you would end up losing some of what makes Mass Effect so great.
Anyway, I'm not really worried because you can get lost in it. It's one of those games where I feel like I am Shepard.
Yeah.
You know,
Mass Effect Andromeda, I think, is a better game than a lot of people gave it credit for.
That's a good game, yeah.
Yeah, it's a really good game.
I can't remember what the problem was. Anyway, I
even liked that one, and I didn't like Mass Effect, so,
Well, I continued my role as Ultimate Bastard all the way through it. Yeah. I managed, and it was very interesting. I didn't shag anything.
What?
So that's one thing I didn't do. I didn't go and farm my cohorts for the extra personal conversations because I didn't give a shit about them. So why would I want to talk to them? I was happy to go to my room, which you don't do anything with this time, and just play with myself, even though I still haven't had time for that. But I had no interest in my crew, no interest in whatsoever. So I shut them down.
You don't want to spread your seed.
As Cindy said earlier, She was sorting out some cement, and I didn't hear the tea at the end. And it was good because the achievement popped for being, I think it's 75% good or 75% bad. But I think the lovely thing about playing it this time around is I do have vague memories of it before, and I remember playing the other game, so you know where the story's going. So you know, so it makes it interesting going through it as you know what's going to happen there somewhere. Now, there's one crew member that you lose, and I've done the opposite this time than I did before, and the last time I did it for purely eye candy reasons that I wanted to keep that person around, but I didn't. I kept the other person, and that person worked out quite well. So, yeah, it's really good. Interested to hear people that have never played it before, that are going to it fresh. You know, it's what is it? So there's 10, what is it? It's 2021. That's 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old kids could play this.
It'll be interesting to see how many people that actually is. You know what I mean? Because I feel like a lot. Well, one, the people that are picking this up are going to be, you know.
Are you saying I'm old?
I think. No, I'm not trying to say that. You are, but I'm not trying to say that.
That was a dick move.
I just wonder, you know, if it's not nostalgia playing a large part in the reason for picking this up. I wonder how much, you know, how much attraction this has to a gamer, you know, a young gamer like a Charlie. You know, would
Charlie really be able to play this? Yeah, I said to Charlie, you know, I said to him today, I was just finished that. Your son, you really have to play this. It's a real treat. You know, I try to think of other games that have a story that good, like it's Portal 2 maybe, but some of the other stuff is, you know, Portal 2, again, if you think of Skyrim and stuff like that, there it leaves a lot more to the player, where you are, your shepherd character is formed and you sort of fill his shoes. Anyway, it doesn't matter, different strokes for different folks. I am thoroughly looking forward to starting Mass Effect 2. Oddly, I want to continue on tonight. It does that odd saving thing. I remember that the first time as well. Yeah. I want to continue, and it throws me back at the save point, back at the beginning of the final battle. But there is no real... It doesn't seem to be a continue on to Mass Effect 2. Maybe you just load your save. I don't know.
Okay.
But... Mass Effect 2, I have, is a 32 gigabyte download. So it didn't, it only downloaded Mass Effect 1. Hasn't downloaded them all in one go.
Interesting.
Which I thought was, and maybe I missed it, an option there, but
has so to I'm assuming that. Then it hasn't done 3 either.
No, I would think so, yeah. Yeah. So you just can't jump from one to the next. Anyway, okay. Mass Effect, it's kind of, affected me in a happy way again. Happy, happy, happy.
Well, I know it's been very popular, you know, on Twitter. You see all kinds of people talking about it. It definitely has been something I think a lot of gamers have been itching for, just because of the love Mass Effect has. I mean, it's up there with Skyrim in terms of just beloved RPG franchises that I think kind of revolutionized, in a way, RPGs and how we saw them. So, yeah. I'm happy to hear it's being received so well.
Because the controls are quirky and clanky and lots of button pushes for this, that, and the other. And I know it was more refined for Mass Effect 2. So I'm so close to it now. I'm looking forward to getting in to see what were the quick differences that they made. You know. So anyway, that's been my gaming, and I'm sorry, people, but Mass Effect is going to be taking up some time. I did download the Sharky game, Sharky, Baby Shark.
Man-eater.
I was going to put it on for Jasmine, but thought maybe it's not suitable. I don't know.
It might not be.
No.
All right. Speaking of not suitable, Kim, what do we want to talk about first?
Oh, well, let's see. I finished Arise this week or last week. I don't know. Maybe it was first of this week. I don't remember. Anyway, I finished that. I've got a few little achievements, like stupid little ones, like, you know, jumping on water droplets like 1,000 times, or jumping on lily pads like 100 times, and they give you an achievement for that. So I might go back and mop those up because they're relatively easy, or I might not because I'm just kind of ready to move on. So there's that. Let's see. What else did I play? Some more Super Lucky's Tale on the Switch. I'm, you know, trying to finish that thing out. I'm kind of in a finishing game mood, I guess. I don't know. So I'm working on that. Okay. Right? So, and with the Switch, it's easy because I can even play that when the little ones are here. And as long as I pay attention and they're not killing each other, we're all good. Aside from that, the new one, because this weekend they're having a free weekend, I played a little Call of Duty Cold War Outbreak.
Right.
So... And let me tell you, we had a little problem Friday trying to get everybody in to play for some odd reason. I don't know, it won't let us do private. Maybe it was a private match or something, and anyway, it wouldn't let us do it. But I will say, I haven't played any of the like multiplayer stuff, and of course you can't play the campaign, so there's that.
All right.
But I really liked the zombies.
They do a good job. They do a good job with the zombie stuff. And from what I understand, Cold War Outbreak was exceptionally well this go round.
Mm-hmm. Is this Treyarch? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And we played, I don't know, a couple of good hours of that yesterday. And it was enough because it was me and Boomer and Mike Breschler all playing. And it was enough for me to go out and buy Cold War.
Oh, wow.
So.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. You absolutely are the case study for why they offer up free games like this over the
weekend. Right. Wow. Yeah, yeah. I drank the Kool-Aid, as it were. And yeah, I mean, it's fun. Like I said, if you want to just hop on there and kill some zombies, it was fun. Or as Boomer called the, what was it, hellhounds? They were horses. So I'm looking around for zombie horses, and it was puppies. So sorry, Boomer. But no, it was fun. So if you haven't, it goes.
No, okay, hold on. We got to back this up a second.
Okay.
You were looking for hellhounds, but they were hell horses. But then
Boomer thought they were horses, puppies? But no, come to find. Yeah, but no. Well, they're hellhounds, but Boomer seemed to think they were horses. And then we're looking, and I'm like, no, those aren't horses. Those are hellhounds, and I call them puppies. Because, you know, like when you play Call of Duty and you call in the dogs, we always call them puppies. Right. So,
yeah. Understood now. Understood. Yeah. I thought you were just murdering small puppies, defenseless little cute things.
Well, like, you know.
The new side of you, Kim.
I tend to mutter a lot of things, but that's the point. But it's good until the first. So
Boomer insists they were horses.
For the record. I think he needs to clean his glasses or something. I don't
snap. Okay.
if you're interested in playing, you know, Cold War, or at least the multiplayer part of it, and like Outbreak, it's free till the first. So, you know, give it a shot.
Give it a shot. And were you able to buy it at a discount, or was it full price? Just
I paid full price because I was originally just going to get like the Xbox One version. Mm-hmm. But they've got a what do they call it? The next gen cross gen thing,
right?
Yeah, for like $70. So that's what I ended up getting because apparently, I guess you buy the Xbox One version, it will upgrade it, but you don't get all the fancy textures and all that shit. And I thought, well, I've got the 12 teraflops, I might as well use them. So I went ahead and spent the extra $10, and you know,
you've got
marketing at its worst.
You have your flops,
right?
Floppies.
But okay, here's my thing about the Xbox Series X and all the extra fancy stuff that goes along with it. For 1 terabyte hard drive, it does not take very long to fill that.
No, it's crap.
Well, especially when you buy Call of Duty.
right? Because that just for the free weekend, it was 185 gigabytes. Yeah. But it upgraded like my Valhalla and all that with the fancy textures and all that, and yeah, that 1 terabyte went like way quickly.
Yes.
So
what you can do to alleviate that, there's a couple things you can do. One, obviously, you can go out and buy the extra high-end SSD card that plugs in right to the back of it. It will sync right up to the internal hard drive, and you won't have any performance differences. But you can plug in external USB drives.
Yes.
So just like your Xbox One X, you can do that with the Series X or Series S. The difference here is if the game is designed specifically for Series X, so to get all of those high-end texture packs, that kind of thing, you need to run that off the internal drive. But what you can do is transfer the game to the external drive and just hold it there, and then if, you know, let's say you're going to come back to it later on in a month or something, you just pull it back over. So you could kind of, and it's pretty easy to do. I've done it. I have a 5 gig hard drive, 5 terabyte drive, 5 gig, 5 terabyte, you know, attached to my Series X. Yeah. Almost all my games sit on that, and then just the select few that I'm going to play in the moment, I throw onto the Series X.
I wondered about that. Now, if I do that, though, will there be a big download when I transfer it back over to the X? Or
you will have a download for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well,
especially with a Call of Duty game, that's going to be a massive download. And depending upon the hard drive you're putting it on. Mm-hmm. That speed can vary. So if you're putting it onto a fast drive, so like a hybrid SSD drive, something like that, it'll go pretty quick. If it's an older SATA type drive, it's going to probably take a good half hour, I would guess.
Mm-hmm.
So
all right, well, I'll have to do that because like I've got 6 or 7 games over on the X that were upgraded with the X and S upgrades, all the texture packs and all that, and yeah. It took that terabyte down really quickly. So I think I have like, you know, I don't know, a couple of gigs left on it. So,
well, and that's the rub on both the Series X and S and the PlayStation 5 is that the internal drives, while they, you know, they say 1 terabyte for the Series X and the PlayStation 5, for the Series S is only 500 gigs, by the way. But the operating systems do take up memory. And so the reality is the Series X only has 825 gigs. Mm-hmm. The PlayStation 5 only has 667 gigs. So they're very, very small. You're going to, you have to manage them in some fashion or the other. So there you have it.
Yeah. So that's what I've been playing. So, yeah.
All right. Awesome.
So what was Mark playing there? I see he was playing stuff.
Mark Wright was playing the Slacker game.
And what was, and Pete Chin, he was playing?
The pink Slacker game.
Phil?
Phil was the semi-slacker.
Richard Webster was doing stuff, wasn't he?
Just straight up ghosted.
And Nicole Radowski?
Too good for us.
Mike Chin.
The non-pink version.
And the real Defoe.
Who?
Yeah, flip me. Okay. Disaster. Speaking of which, if you'd like to apply for the post of a pod show host, let us know.
Absolutely. All right, Cyberpunk, continuing to play through this game. I my love for this game is growing daily. And it's not just because of all the sex shops. No, not just because of the boob physics. It is funny, though. So I always laugh when you see these future depictions of the world in, you know, in 100 years or so. It always seems to be a depiction of a lot of neon, a lot of like plastic, debauchery all over the place, so Cyberpunk has a unhealthy amount of sex shops within it, which is kind of comical. And then virtual bars where you can do almost anything in them type thing. So aside from that, I have really enjoyed it. It's interesting because the aesthetic of Cyberpunk is that over the top world. It's all the neon lights and all that stuff. But the story itself is so well done. And in the voice acting, the plot lines are, they feel very grounded. Like, I mean, I think you could take this and put it into a modern day detective kind of storyline and it would fit. It absolutely would work. You know, just a couple modifications here and there in terms of, you know, some of the elements, but
could RC Gray, he could
RC Gray could totally pull this off. Absolutely. but Cyberpunk 2077, I'm really blown away by the emotion of the storyline and the plot.
Did
and I don't want to give anything
did
away.
Did it make you cry?
Not that it'll make you cry, but the voice acting is convincing. There are emotional moments, and you hear the voice actors going
through
their lines.
Let the emotion go. I mean, let it go, Greg. You know, really get into the role play. If you feel emotion, you know, get the emotion out. You know.
Yeah. Emotion. No, but I will say this: I think I'm glad I went with the female version because of some of these emotional moments. I feel like
it's how you identify. We're not judging. If you identify as a female cyberpunk,
you're judging me. Look at me, judging me, looking at me, judging me all the time, judging me, looking at me.
Oh yeah, up and down, baby.
So Cyberpunk has been fantastic, and on the Series X, like I said before. It's been playing fine. You know, there's once in a while a little, you know, hiccup with something. The physics doesn't play exactly perfect, just like a Skyrim game or any other Fallout game.
Yeah, man, you're gonna have that. I don't care, you know, how great it is. You're gonna have a hiccup every now and again. So
yeah, but the side quests, the main storyline in particular has been fantastic, and that's what I've really been focused on. I haven't really been doing a lot of the side quest stuff, although I am going to venture into that. And I will just tell a tale of one side story that I went into, and it was dealing with a gang element that, you know, they were being cited by the police for, you know, potentially doing sacrificial offerings. So I tracked down a location and I go to it, and I literally just get my ass handed to me time after time by this one character. And the character was coming at me with the blade arms that you saw in that trailer we saw way back when. the initial trailer for Cyberpunk, and so I was using every gun I had, and nothing was doing it any good. And then I remembered I had a katana, and so I armed myself with a katana, and it was the absolute right weapon for the moment, and it allowed me to block all of her
incoming
attacks. A banana, yes. Arm yourself with a banana or a katana. But the sword play worked out great, and it felt great. It didn't feel too clunky to me. And ultimately, it was interesting because I realized at that moment that there are times in this game where having the right weapon against an enemy does make a huge difference. I always thought I could just kind of blast my way through everything with certain guns that I liked, but there are times when that's just not going to be the case. I'm trying to see what Robin has up on screen here. Anyway, yeah, he's got some crazy physics stuff going on. But yeah, so Cyberpunk, absolute gem, loving it. And then I switched gears and I fired up MechWarrior 5. So I have had MechWarrior 5 on my PC for some time now. It didn't perform great on my PC, and I think that's partly because the CPU on my PC is a little bit older now. So, it was running at kind of a hiccupy 30 frames per second in the settings I had on it, and I was just, it just didn't wow me. I fired it up on the Series X. I was really pleasantly surprised.
Really?
It runs way
really? Smoother. On an Xbox? Wow.
Well, it runs at 60 frames per second. And the other thing that I was really afraid of on the console versions was how they were going to handle, because MechWarrior games on PC have a lot of key bindings, different keys for turning the mech on, turning it off, weapon loadouts. And so I just was struggling with how they were going to handle that. But they kind of went the Elite Dangerous route of, Your D-pad is going to serve as a radial menu. So as you kind of go left on the D-pad, it opens up another menu that opens up another menu. And so they managed to put in all of these different bindings off the D-pad, which frees up the triggers and the bumpers to be weapon-based. Mm-hmm. It all worked well. And I was really pleasantly surprised. Now, MechWarrior 5 still feels very much like a dated PC MechWarrior game.
Yeah, I'm going to say to you, sorry, Titanfall looks better than this.
Well, Titanfall does, I think, look better than this. I think, graphically speaking, Titanfall 2 looks better than this game. I'm not trying to say that's not the case. This feels like a 2000 PC mech game. It's not going to win any awards from me in terms of game of the year, that kind of thing. But for a MechWarrior game, it's good. And if you like the mech combat part of it, once you get into the story aspect of it, and you're having to navigate through the menu systems, it's less than desirable. They do some quirky things, like they make you walk around the hangar to go to different locations to do certain things. And it just all could have been handled through a simple menu screen. Why they have you, have to navigate and walk around the big, area is beyond me. But it is what it is. I like it. I've enjoyed MechWarrior's games my whole life. So having MechWarrior 5 on the console, it's a bonus. And even more so, it's a bonus because it is on Game Pass. So my subscription covers the price of entry.
Yeah, absolutely. And Game Pass, we'll talk about it again in a little while. So, because there's lots of cool stuff coming. Anyway, not for me. That looks slow. And yes, it looks like... Anyway, I'm sure it's lovely and intricate for mech-y type people, but not for me, mate. If everybody was the same as me, it would be a better world. No, it would be a very strange world. So...
Well, that said, let's dive into some news stuff.
Oh, good. News would be a really good idea.
Here is the fucking news.
I see our mods are hard at work.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Well done.
Earning my paycheck.
Yep.
Well done. Well done. All right. So before we dive into the news, one kind of question I threw out there kind of pre-show was just kind of thinking about E3, the games that have been announced. You know, what games are we looking forward to, you know, seeing more of? Now, Horizon Forbidden West was one of the games I really wanted to see more of. That since has been dealt with, and we'll talk about that shortly. So it's not really on my list now because I've seen it. It looks fantastic. So I think for me, I'm very much curious to see what Halo Infinite looks like now that they've had a year to kind of work on it. I do want to see more from Perfect Dark because I'm really excited about that reboot. And Battlefield 6 for me definitely is up there. I love the Battlefield games. It's, you know, I'm kind of curious to see if they can recover from the last one because I think the last one was a misstep. I wasn't crazy about the last game, so
yeah. I'm ready for them to go back to more modern surroundings.
Yeah. So Kim, you had Battlefield 6 on your list as well. What else? Yep. What else are you kind of wanting to see that we know of? Obviously, there's stuff we don't know of.
Yeah. I'd like to see some more Dragon Age than what we've seen so far. I mean, it's been good what we've seen, but it's been very tiny little breadcrumbs, kind of. I mean, they dole out some still images every now and again, but we haven't really seen a whole lot more than that. So and they say like it's maybe out like within the next what, year or so. So you'd think we'd be able to see a little more something than what we've seen, but yeah. they're keeping it very close to the vest, and in some ways that scares me because of some of the stuff we've read over the years that they started out and then they scrapped it and then they started again and it was going to go like as a game for a service deal, and that kind of bothered me because we've seen how those go. I mean, right. Anthem, hello. I mean, admittedly, Anthem may not have been bad for some people, but then it was kind of terrible too. So, you know. And I don't want to see one of my favorite franchises, you know, bomb so terribly. So, yeah, Dragon Age. I'd like to see some more of that. And I'd like to see some more of the Elder Scrolls. I mean, admittedly, they haven't really said much of anything. I don't think we really even know for sure where it's even going to take place at exactly. So,
right.
It'd be kind of nice. And I know that one's probably going to be several years yet down the road, but it'd be nice to see something. So,
I mean, along the Elder Scrolls line, I'm curious to see if Avowed, in a sense, kind of feels like a replacement to Elder Scrolls.
Yes.
It's two different companies, even though they're under the Microsoft flag. It'd be interesting to see. Yeah.
And Fable, the new Fable. I'd like to see some more for Fable. Okay. Yeah. It's a big RPG thing for me. I love RPGs. So, you know, aside from Battlefield, that's where I'm at. So.
All right. Robin, I think you and Martin share something in common. Love of seeing more Forza. Is it Forza Horizon or Forza Motorsport?
I'm Forza Horizon is great, but I've had enough. I mean, they've done a really good job. It's probably the best sort of casual racers out there. I mean, it looks fantastic with all the add-ons and the Lego stuff and all that. It's brilliant, great fun. I've had good fun with it. But I'm looking forward to the new Forza Motorsport. You know, the more semi type racing game, so that'll be pure eye candy, and we're due one of those, so I'm really looking forward to that. The other thing that's really tickled my fancy is a Bethesda game, which is Starfield, which was teased at E3 last year. It is a spacey game. I'm hoping that they take it a step further, that it's not just Skyrim in space or Fallout in space. Mm-hmm. I hope it's a slicker than that. I don't mean to take that away, but both for me, Skyrim and especially Fallout have a grungy feel to them. They're quite, you know, dirty, you know, I don't know, grungy, I don't know what it is.
They're not slick.
They're not slick. So I'm hoping they can do something really good with Starfield. And that's interesting, and hopefully this time around we're going to get to some more. In fact, it was at E3 2018 when it was first teased. So there's rumor that it might come this year. You know, it might not. Halo Infinite, of course, as well. I want more of the man in the smelly suit. Can you imagine how bad that suit smells?
Right.
Seriously. Is there something?
I'd like to think they did something to address that.
Yeah, well,
So. Robert, real quick, back to Forza.
Yeah.
So curious.
Yeah.
We know Gran Turismo is also coming.
Yeah.
So, I mean, any curiosity to see that in more depth?
No.
No, not at all?
No.
You've never been a Gran Turismo person?
Yeah, way back when I played, you know, PlayStation 2, Gran Turismo, but no. I suppose it can be as simmy as you want to, but it felt, when you compared it to me to Forza Motorsport, it just felt a little bit light. It felt lighter than Forza. Okay. So it never... fabulous game, looks great and all, but no. I think I like Forza better. Sorry. It's not a Sony thing. Fucking Sony. it's just Forza. I love Forza. I'm very heavily invested. I mean, even my keys. I think I have my key ring is still a Forza Motorsport 3 key ring sort of thing, you know. So,
all right. What can you do? Or as it is then. I am curious to see about Gran Turismo. I like some of the directions they took the last Gran Turismo game. Mm. I think they got away from some of the things that I didn't care for with Gran Turismo.
Okay.
But we'll see.
What I want them to avoid, stuff like story mode. Like I'm, you know... Yeah, a light.
They all seem like they have to have some kind of story mode.
Sort
these
of
days.
A light career progression, but I don't need to be a character driver. I'm not. That's not why I play Forza Motorsport.
But you are a character.
You do driver. Leave that to Forza Horizon. You know.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting take. I hadn't really thought about that, but I mean, I personally could see actually a good serious go at a driver story, because like the Forza Horizon story, the driver story there, it's light. It is meant to service a narrative of doing objectives. It's not really a story that has depth to it. But I think you could do something. You know, if you think about some of the great race movies we've seen of late, I think you could create and craft a really good single player story that to attach to a game.
Like bringing their personal lives into it.
Yeah, a little bit. Get it, I think about F1 driver type, kind of narrative. There could be something there.
I don't want to worry about emotions, Greg. I have enough emotions to deal with. I want to drive.
All right, fair enough. No emotions. We will just drive.
Robin, no emotions, Tate.
Yep.
Yes. Emotionless. Martin did mention Far Cry. Martin, we'll talk about that in just a few, because certainly he is curious and wanting to know more about Far Cry and see more from that game. But I think we saw quite a bit. All right, here we go. Let's dive into more of the news. So we're going to start with some negative stuff, and then we're going to get into some of the more fun stuff.
Okay.
Because for a week, there wasn't going to be a lot of news, but ironically, there was some good news. Borderlands 3. So Randy Pitchford tweeted out this past week, good news or bad news first. Good news, an update for Borderlands 3 has been prepared for release that includes full crossplay support across all platforms. Bad news. For certification, we have been required by the publisher to remove cross-play support for PlayStation consoles.
Hmm. No, but that could be either side here.
Well, I think this is not the side you... I think Randy Pitchford is pointing a finger not at who you think he is. I think the initial thought is, oh, he's pointing a finger at Sony.
No, that's what I'm saying. That could be either way.
Yeah. I think he's pointing a finger at the publisher of the game, which I forgot who publishes
2K?
Borderlands 3.
2K.
Yeah. So I think he's pointing the finger at 2K saying, pony up and pay for the crossplay support. Because he calls out the
publisher. Okay.
It's interesting. We'll see how that goes.
For certification.
We've been required by the publisher, not by Sony, but by the publisher to remove crossplay support because they didn't want to pay for crossplay, which we now know Sony requires companies to pay for crossplay support.
Well, it's one of three things. It's either Sony, Microsoft, 2K, or Randy Pitchford being a dick. Four things. No one expected four things.
Look, magic. All right. So we had a big investors call this past week for Sony.
Sony.
And within that, there was quite a bit of news.
News.
So Jim Ryan elaborated on the company's plans to launch its major franchises on non-console platforms, i.e. PC. He said the company intends to bring some of its iconic IP to mobile during its current business year ending in March 2022. Following its very successful first steps into the PC market. So there's a lot to unpack there. He's not only talking about PC, he's also talking about going mobile. I think Jim Ryan is seeing the fruits of not being stuck in his walled garden, and he is opening the PlayStation playbook to say, let's go down this path. I think that is going to anger a lot of hardcore fanboys for sure. Yep. He said, we're beginning our journey to take PlayStation first party IP off console. We started last year by publishing two of our games on PC, Horizon Zero Dawn and Predator, and both were very profitable and really had a very successful publishing debut. We will continue that in fiscal year 21 and we'll continue beyond that. So there's already been reports that Days Gone did very well on PC, it's been received very well. So this is going to be interesting. And the rumor now is that Uncharted 4 is going to be the next game to go to PC.
Wow.
Which is interesting. Uncharted 4, you'd think maybe they'd do like a re-release of some of the old ones, but then this goes back into the whole PS3 stuff and programming. So maybe they just can't. There may be some barriers there.
That's a learn to code.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Sony claims on Thursday that the standard PS5 model will break even beginning in June of 2021. And that's the disc-based version. And then confirmed that it intends to launch its PlayStation Direct online store in Europe in fiscal year 21 as well.
What's that?
Say it again.
The PlayStation Direct store. That's like Steam sort of thing.
I would think so. I don't honestly know. I don't know what the PlayStation Direct online store is, but I have to imagine it's some kind of PC-based store. We do know PlayStation Now is grown. It's now at 3.2 million subscribers.
That's good.
I always thought it would be more. To be honest, but if you look at the growth chart, they've grown quite a bit over the past year. They've almost doubled in size, and that I think they did the dollar offering, $1 for 1 month. Plus, they put Spider-Man, they put Horizon Zero Dawn onto that as well. So, I think those games really helped grow the service. So,
pretty good.
Yeah, we shall see. We'll see where that goes. So that all happened. Some good news, some scary news, I think, for some fanboys. But then Sony announced a sneak peek at Horizon Forbidden West. And so they did a state of play for just this game. They showed off about 20 minutes of gameplay. The game looks great. It's coming out for PlayStation 5 and PS4 in the second half of 2021. Within the 20 minutes gameplay video, they showed off, it's taking Aloy, the main character, again. She's going out to the Pacific Coast. So there's a lot of people saying it looked like there was the Golden Gate Bridge in the background. So likely San Francisco will be one of those locales. They introduced some underwater gameplay, which was new to the series. Looked really good. They also showed off, she has a grappling hook. She could ride a velociraptor type robot. She had a smoke bomb, a slingshot, a bow, a staff, grenade launcher, a holographic parachute that she used, kind of a very Link-like to cruise around on. So
how does that work?
The game is shaping good.
How does that work?
I think I believe it's her shield. Like she has the
holographic
energy shield, and
I don't think that would work, Greg. I don't think if I had if I jumped off there with my quest on with a holographic parachute on me, I don't think that would work. I don't think it would stop me.
No, I agree with you. It probably would not stop you,
Robin.
Do
you think this is more advanced, more advanced technology? Yeah, then maybe it's more advanced. Then maybe it's just for ginger.
It's probably more advanced than holographic.
Is she still a ginger?
Still a ginger.
Okay.
But she's a lovely ginger, unlike a mongoose.
Oh.
And then, of course, we were treated later on in the week. By the way, I think the game looks good.
Okay.
I think you still see it's tied to PlayStation 4.
All right.
So I don't know if this game is setting the world on fire in terms of graphical prowess.
You think it looks like a mod?
No, I think it looks good, but I think it looks like a game that is straddling last gen and this gen.
Okay.
So there's going to be upgrades and enhancements for the PlayStation 5 version.
Nobody likes it when you straddle gen.
No, they don't.
No.
Apart from Jen. Far Cry 6. Who's excited for Far Cry 6 beyond Martin? We know Martin's excited for Far Cry 6.
Yeah, I have it on the screen. It's popping up on the screen now. It looks like Far Cry.
Oh, that's good.
It looked really good.
Yeah,
I thought it was fantastic.
Mm. Oh, look at it. It's the Chicken Man from Breaking Bad.
Yes.
Gustav, whatever his name is.
Yeah, so it's going to release on October 7th.
Okay.
And they showed off it's a fictional version of Cuba.
Just a question. Sorry. Do you think that Russian company gets a cut of AK-47 money when they put them in all these games? Because that's clearly AK-47s that they're carrying around there. Do you think they have to license the guns?
Name it, they might have to license it, but if they don't name it, so that's why sometimes you see like kind of weird. Yeah,
74. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. And just a thought. Well, that does look good. Wow.
It does look good.
Wow.
It looks really good.
That's horses.
Yeah. And I believe it also is a cross-gen game. And I think that, by the way, this is something we're going to see. For as all the talk about next-gen and leaving last-gen behind, I don't think that's going to happen for a good year and a half. I think into next year, you're going to see games releasing on all platforms. And especially because of the chip shortage and how few consoles they've actually been able to get for next-gen systems out into the wild. I don't think there's incentives for these companies right now to make something that's not cross-gen.
I kind of think because of all of this Wii Flu stuff as well,
yes.
You know, that's directed. Well, who knew? It did come from China. Oh, who knew? Anyway, Orange Man was right. But I think that's part of it because they maybe haven't sold the numbers of consoles as well that they want to. So they're
it's definitely part of it.
They're pivoting a bit here. Pivoting. But the Christ, there's June. Yeah. June! And Kim's only getting one now.
Right? So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we had a couple more announcements just to go over. One more game got announced, the Dying Light 2, Stay Human.
Stay home.
Yeah. Stay Human. Stay Home would be good advice in the Dying Light world.
Yeah, wear two masks.
But yeah, so that got announced. It will be coming out on December 7th. The craziest thing about this for me, you know, I'd seen video from the game before. It looks like they've polished it up a little bit more. But they announced this collector's edition, and they have this statue, and it shows a character wielding an axe, that kind of thing. And, you know, it looks like your standard kind of zombie, you know, scene of, you know, there's a zombie, there's a guy with an axe, there's a street lamp hanging over his head, and it was, you know, kind of cool. But then they turn on, there's a black light built into that street lamp, and it made everything look so much better. I was just like, okay, that's actually freaking cool. This makes me now want to spend the hundreds of dollars it probably will cost to get that limited edition
statue. Like, it sounds like that King Kong. I've mentioned that story before, that my brother built the model with the glow-in-the-dark hands and head that terrified me. I mean, do you want to have nightmares? Do you want to wet the bed again, Greg? We've worked so hard to get over that, so let's maybe not, okay?
I don't know. We'll see. Although I think it already went on sale, so likely I'm shit out of luck anyway.
Shit out of luck.
Last big piece of news, and this was just confirmation. We knew Xbox and Bethesda were going to be holding an event. We assumed it might be a joint event. It turns out they are going to be smoking the doobie together. It will be on June 13th at 1 p.m., so a Sunday show. Microsoft kind of taking the spot that they had previous. So they will kick things off. It'll be a 90-minute show.
Wow.
So a nice long show. Wow. And it'll be Xbox and Bethesda together.
Big year for Microsoft this year. Big year.
It's a big year on a lot of fronts. I think one of the things they really have to do at this point, we've heard about all the studio acquisitions. We know they've got stuff in the can. It's time to really start showing it. It's time to start seeing it come out and be good. Not just, you know, as much as I enjoyed Crackdown 3, Crackdown 3 was a big miss for them.
Yeah, yeah.
So they need to start pumping out games that not only are coming out, but that have critically good success. So that is everything on the news front. Surprisingly deep news week. Kim, what about the new releases? Let's talk about that.
Alrighty, and we have quite the list of new releases this week. So your new releases for May 30th through June 5th are, yeah, right, folks, we're getting into June already. Jesus. Ghosts and Goblins Resurrection for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC on June 1st. Operation Tango for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC, also on June 1st. Stonefly for the PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC, June 1st as well. The Elder Scrolls Online Gates of Oblivion for the Stadia and PC, June 1st. World of Warcraft Burning Crusade Classic for the PC, June 1st as well. Wreckfest for the PlayStation 5, June 1st. Pro Cycling Manager 2021 for the PC, June 3rd. Tour de France 2021 for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC, June 3rd. Then we have Evergate for the PlayStation 5, June 4th. Sniper Ghost Warrior Contracts 2 for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC, June 4th as well. We have The Last Kids on Earth and the Staff of Doom. For the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC, June 4th. And last but not least, we have The Persistence for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S on June 4th as well. And those are your new releases.
Cool.
You know how I can tell when Robin's not feeling good?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't mess with any title on that list.
I know, right?
Interesting.
But I do have incontinence pants on the TV. Anyway.
That's the important part, Robin. That's what we need, apparently. All right, Robin, with your big boy pants on, let's talk about Victories Achieved.
Okay, so Victories Achieved is when you finish a game, you get entered into a draw for money. We'll be drawing it January, February, March, April, May, June, end of June. And you can win £15 and $20 just for finishing the game. At the end of the game, you take a selfie of yourself. And tweet it off to @OC_podcast or put it into your WhatsApp group. In fact, just on that point, if you want to be part of our very active WhatsApp groups, let any of us know and we'll get you entered into that WhatsApp group. There's not a very active OC podcast chat group which covers everything from Richard Webster self-help support group, modding of PCs.
Is his self-help for the record. Much,
it's good general chat about stuff. So if you not just games. So let us know. So just finish a game, you get entered into a draw, and there you go. So Hardly Dad, he finished a wonderful looking Mass Effect Legendary Edition. Now I wonder if that's all three, Dan. I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know if he finished the first one. Probably the first one. Kim finished Arise. Even though when I first looked at the photograph on Twitter, it looked like arse. I didn't have my glasses on.
I know.
Yeah.
On that photograph. And I finished Mass Effect 1. And this is now the time when goodness, I'm failing.
Just
play the sound of Greg doing stuff. No, that's not it.
Nope.
No, that's Christmas. No, that's shit. Fuck.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God. Where's Greg?
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. Victory's achieved.
Dear. That's it. Sorry. Yeah, talk some. Greg?
Talk some.
Yeah.
I'm just going through some of the chat. We've had a very active chat, so I think we need to give the chat a shout out, Kim.
Alrighty, we'll do that. Martin is in the chat. Boomer, of course, is in the chat. Lord has been in there,
And then we had Dickhead 1 and Dickhead 2.
Yes, they didn't hang around long.
They had a really good offer. They wanted us to be famous. They offered that we could be make us famous. And, you know, that's good. You know, I don't think
I really want to be famous, but that's
famous last words.
We also had James Bevan in there, so, you know.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. It's nice to do that. That's lovely.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is the point of the show where we give the love.
Love.
Robin, you are fading fast, so we're going to do shout-outs first with you. Why don't you give your shout-outs, if any?
Yeah. I'd just like to thank the producers for making it all possible. And just people out there that listened, and especially the guys that come on live there as well and listen in. Thank you very much. It's lovely seeing that interaction. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Really, honestly, you don't know how much it makes us not step off the bridge. So, thank you. Anyway, and if you actually want, if you'd love to come on to the show, there's space. Because the other guys are fucking useless. So, Sorry, I'm failing a wee bit here.
I know why you're failing, by the way. You're fading because if you looked, you were cradling your wine glass. When I see that, that tells me things.
What?
You're tired, you're sick, and
you shouldn't be drinking
a good bottle of wine.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just I'm roasted, and it's cool, red wine. Anyway, I'll be back in form next week. But then again, Mark might come on and give me a week off. That would be nice.
That would be lovely.
Hint, hint, nudge, nudge.
Oh, no pressure.
Shove, shove.
You cunt.
All the pressure in the world, you bastard.
Right, Kev, over to you.
All right, I'll go. Shout out to the people in our chat that we've already shouted out. So thanks for coming in and keeping the chat jumping. It's always nice when people come in there and you know, keep the conversation going, so I'm not standing there, you know, sitting here, as it were, bored off my... you know, but trying to, you know.
I'm so glad we bored the shit out of you. This is what I hear at that comment.
I mean, in the chat.
Thanks for being in the chat because I'm bored off my ass on this podcast.
The chat, you know, it's you know, whatever. I've stuck my foot in my mouth, but there we go.
Fire.
It's bound to happen at least once.
And then it happens.
You know.
Yeah.
But anyway, shout out to you guys because, you know, you let me have last weekend off and everything. I think, you know, was that been the second weekend or something? So anyway, thanks for, you know, not holding that over my head. It's been fun.
We unlock the door once in a while.
Yeah, you know, Robin, I hope you feel better.
I'll be fine. I'm okay. I'm all right. You know,
No, you really are not. But no, we do hope
like
you feel better.
He looks like he's already passed out or something. So
I know his face color is starting to match his shirt.
Exactly. Yeah. He's looking a little pale there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I hope you feel better. Anyway, I hope you all have a good week. You know, hopefully, like in my end, hopefully it starts to warm up because I'm tired of this, you know, supposed to be close to summer and it's 39 degrees when I get up in the morning. That shit's terrible. So, I'll trade you. You know, anyway, like I said, everybody have a good week. Hopefully there's some more gaming to be had. And we'll see you next weekend. Over to you, Reggles.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think there will definitely be more gaming to be had. Kim is open for Call of Duty now. Hey, there we go. Thank you everybody for being on the show. Appreciate Robin, you making the effort. I know you've not been feeling great. Kim, obviously, thank you for making the show as well. To the rest of the podcast team, get your asses in gear. It's time. Enough excuses. I'm just saying. And just, you know, like Kim said, like Robin said, we really do love the community support. This is a community podcast. It's all about having fun. And part of having that fun is interacting with all of you. So come back next week. You might actually see some different people on the show for once. We'll have some more fun. We'll talk about E3. We'll do some predictions next week. It'll get interesting. It'll get completely false and made up. That's what we do when it comes around to E3. We are not insiders by any stretch of the imagination. Although I did sleep at a Holiday Inn. Huh? That's it.
There you go.
We're done. Robin, play some music.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. see you same time next week.